The new podcast, Friendly Fire, from Wondery is a good example of why podcasts are such a great medium for discovering movies. In each episode, three co-hosts talk for an hour about a classic or contemporary war film. It's part filmmaking insight, part film history, and part philosophical look at war. All right, Benjamin Harrison and Adam Pranica, you have a new podcast called Friendly Fire that's about war movies. Why war movies instead of romantic comedies? Do you like romantic comedies?
We probably have more experience with war than we do with romance. And by saying that, I mean we have experience in none of those things.
Yeah, I think the idea of it kind of came about because we were on tour with our other podcast, The Greatest Generation, and our friend John Roderick, who is the co-host of Friendly Fire, got breakfast with us, and we kind of brainstormed what we would do if we were to collaborate on a project, the three of us. And John is like an amazing autodidact of history, and Adam and I are both, you know, action movie nerds, and we also work in film and video production. So we have some experience to bring to bear in that regard, and it just seemed like a natural fit.
And he's the guy who knows whether the shoes in this scene are the right materials. And
he's mostly a boot nerd.
Well, I got that from the first episode, from the Saving Private Ryan episode. He definitely knew a lot about the shoe wear in that film.
Yeah, he's we don't just talk about the specific wars in the films. He's also got a lot of insight into the kind of eras of American history in which these films were released. So, and not just American history, because we're doing films from all over the world, but like, what is the cultural context into which Saving Private Ryan was released, and how's that different from how the country was when Flying Leathernecks was released? You know, like two World War II films and separated by 40 years. And like, what does it mean to make a World War II film in the 90s versus the 50s?
One thing that was interesting, the second film you did was Run Fast, Run Deep, which was a film I didn't know about and had not seen, is that films made during one particular era about a particular earlier era are sometimes reflecting different values or different things that we think about certain wars. And I think MASH is probably a good example of that, and probably a film that is on your list, I would suspect. What are your sort of attitudes about what war films are saying about war through the prism of whatever war we're fighting right now?
I think MASH was a great example of... we've already recorded the MASH episode, to be honest. And it was a great example of a film for its time that, in watching it now, was difficult in a lot of ways. It's, Altman is known as one of the great directors of our time. And there are all sorts of great Altman-y things about the film to enjoy. Yeah. But there's also attitudes... demonstrated in the film by almost every character that made it seem like you could never make a film like this right now and have it be considered one of the classics in the way that MASH is.
Yeah, it is totally grandfathered in as a classic. Well, like the values of the film are like ostensibly pretty progressive. Like it's an anti-war film. But it's also a film in which the female characters are treated as objects, and it's also just got a very weird attitude about class and how to know right from wrong and stuff. So
it's also profoundly anti-medicine, really, when you think about it. All those surgical scenes.
Oh, out in the middle of nowhere with no sanitary.
The laissez-faire attitude of the surgeons.
With the cigarette hanging out of their mouth.
That's not who you want opening you up, I don't think.
as you're thinking about these films that are on the list or not on the list as war movies, what are your margins? I mean, is like Born on the 4th of July a war movie, or Hunt for Red October, or Casablanca? These are sort of not really traditional war movies, but they're certainly about military conflict.
I mean, I think
my
that...
answer.
What's that?
Yes, is my answer.
to all three of those?
I think we're.
I was mostly lobbying for you to talk about those three movies, because those are three that I'd like to hear you do.
We're interpreting the genre as broadly as possible, because I think it makes for a more interesting show. I think if we were very narrowly a book definition of war film podcast, I think that would reduce our scope to, you know, a tight 50 films that you find in every video store filed under war, and that would be it. But I'm really looking forward to having conversations about a film like Born on the 4th of July with Ben and John, or a film like Aliens, for example.
Yeah, there's some real weird stuff on our list, and we have a big long list with, I think it's up to like 100 movies of potential next films, and we just pick randomly each time, and the only rule we have is that we can't stay on the same war for longer than 3 episodes in a row. So we're trying to be really open-minded about what constitutes a war movie, and our 4th episode is First Blood, and that's the first one that really strains the definition. But also has a lot to say about, you know, the way our society and culture think about war, and the way we think about soldiers, and you know, the way veterans are welcomed back into society or not.
The podcast is not about ranking or building any sort of pantheon of these movies, but as you've been going back and watching them, I mean, what's on your score sheet? What are the things you're thinking about when you're evaluating these movies? Are you thinking about how well they hold up, or how good the tech is, how good the CGI is? I mean, what are the things you're thinking about?
I think not ranking them is a really important thing for us, because, you know, it's a lot like being asked the question, what is your favorite movie? Which is a question I hate answering, because it's an impossible question to answer. I'd much rather get asked, like, what is your favorite movie of the last 5 years? Or what is your favorite comedy? Like, the scope is so broad that I also feel like you can't compare a film like Three Kings to MASH, for example. They're two different, and so I don't know on what scale you would possibly rate them against each other. So I think I'm glad that the show is working in such a way that it is taking all of the films individually and not comparing them by way of rank, even though we have begun giving them sort of a rating system. But that rating system is only related to itself, and I think you'll find out more about that in the coming episodes.
So, but yeah. what are the things you find yourself thinking about the most, the sort of the quality of the story, the acting, the craft, the, you know, how well they're capturing war? I mean, what is striking you about these movies as you're rewatching them?
I think the thing that has really emerged for me is this idea of, you know, war. A war film is an artifact of its time, and it is our society talking to itself about what our values are. And, you know, there's like a war movie is supposed to be exciting and fun to watch. Like there's a lot of excitement in seeing, you know, tanks rolling across a grassy field shooting at each other and hoping our guys are going to win, but you know, the essential human struggles within that are really different from era to era. And you know, a war film from the 50s presents the impact of war on the protagonist very differently from a war film from the 80s or 90s, you know, and it is, and that's been true in history. You know, the Greatest Generation had a really different way of dealing with their trauma than the you know, my father's generation when they came back from Vietnam. And because they had such a such different strategies for dealing with that trauma, they had they wound up feeling profoundly alienated from one another. And I think that those kinds of cultural changes are evident in the films, and that's been really interesting to see. And you know, it's not just the kinds of stories that are told, but it's the way they're told, and the, you know, the cinematic decision making and creative choices that the filmmakers make.
It sounded from the discussion about Saving Private Ryan that the overall take from the three of you combined is that it's a technically stunning couple of set pieces with a kind of mediocre movie between them. Is that accurate?
That seems fair. I mean, I grew up loving Saving Private Ryan, and I hadn't seen it in a long time. And upon rewatching it, there were some things that I was really surprised didn't hold up at all. I mean, and it's, and it is such a, it, it really rubs your nose in its message. You know, it is a film that opens and closes on a waving American flag backlit by the sun. It, like, you know, the,
and it's
might
such
as well
an
have
interesting
called...
challenge to like discuss war films without having a criticism of a war film come off as like unpatriotic or like against a war or the people who fought it too. Like, In hearing you describe this, Ben, it made me think that like this has been a challenge throughout. Like, neither of us like the waving American flag bookends of that film, but out of context, it sounds like we're total assholes for thinking that.
Why is that though? Why you don't like the flag waving part? Because it signals that one side is preferred over the other, or what?
No, it's totally, it's saccharine in the way that a lot of Spielberg films are, in a way that I am instinctively resistant to.
Yeah, it's using the kind of trappings of patriotism to bring you in rather than bringing you in, you know, on the merits of the story or the characters. Like, you're emotionally charged up the second the film starts and predisposed in this way that feels really manipulated.
It's a flag pin of a moment in film. Like, that's how.
Yeah.
Well, and I think one thing you'll see as you get into the Afghanistan and Iraq movies is that, and probably more so than some of these previous wars, is the self-perpetuating element of them, that we're in war because we're in war, and it's because of our, you know, our brothers on the battlefield, and it suddenly becomes about continuity of conflict rather than whether to have one or not and how to get out of it.
Yeah, I mean, that's something that you really see change in the way wars are talked about in films. Like, more recent war films don't come with the assumption that a war is winnable in itself. Like, the idea of winning a war has, in a lot of ways, gone away, and it used to be the goal. You know, like, you'd take your army over there, and you would fight and hopefully win. And now, like, there's this kind of petering out element to the way we think about war, and that's you know, and that thought process, I think, starts with Vietnam, and then is radically exacerbated by the Gulf, the kind of like never-ending Gulf conflict that we now have. But it, like, you see filmmakers kind of applying the values of their day to older wars. Like, when Spielberg makes a war about World War II, it has a weird Vietnam War feeling because, you know, it is in the post-Vietnam era.
The two of you also co-host together the Greatest Discovery podcast, which discusses CBS All Access's new Star Trek Discovery show episode by episode. That's also very much a series about war, and I'm curious what your thoughts are on Discovery as a war series.
I've read something lately that made me consider the series in a different way than how I had approached it, which was how different this cast and how different these characters are processing the war that they're in. Because in all other Star Trek series, they were very, you know, single-minded and motivated in the way that Ben described earlier about, you know, winning whatever conflict they were in. And this crew, upon finding themselves in their circumstance, also really shares those feelings with each other in a way that they, you know, it's a shared currency, the consequences of these actions that they're having. And we're seeing that play out in a way I'm not sure we've seen before in a Star Trek show. And that has been really satisfying for me to watch. It's made it a better show, I think.
I was a little surprised to see the series focus on war. I don't know what I thought it would be, but I was surprised that it presented as a show about combat rather than one about science, which is ostensibly what the mission in the series is about.
Sure feels like if you're a network with a lot of money and you want to appeal to a broad audience, science might not be the way to do it, unfortunately.
There's the science element with the spores connecting together across the galaxy.
Yeah, for the backdrop of the war, there haven't been that many combat scenes. Like, I feel like as much time is given to the spore drive science as anything else. But yeah, it's a very different Star Trek series, and I was pretty surprised to find myself enjoying it as much as I have been. I mean, it seemed like a lot of things happened, you know, that came out in the news about it in the run-up that made me think that it wasn't going to be all that great. But it's really proved me wrong.
As a podcast about movies, I would fit Friendly Fire into a category with podcasts like How Did This Get Made, which is about bad movies, and The Rewatchables, which is about building a canon of modern titles, and Movie Crush, which is about talking to a celebrity about a particular movie. They're all oriented toward an hour-long discussion about a particular movie that may not be in the current conversation. Do you look at those as podcasts about discovery or about listening to people have an interesting conversation about something where you may not actually be interested in watching the movie they're talking about? I think it's a little bit of both for me.
Yeah, I think that's interesting. I'm a big fan of The Flophouse, which is another bad movie podcast. And, you know, I haven't seen most of the films that they review, but the way they review them is funny and insightful. And I feel like they have a lot to say about, you know, what differentiates a good movie from a bad movie. And I think that the thing that we wanted to do with Friendly Fire was kind of sit at John's table and hear him talk about history and politics and you know, social change that has accompanied the history of war films. And you know, it's as much an excuse to get him talking about that and for us to joke around with him about that stuff as it is, you know, some sort of canon building exercise.
Right. And as smart and as thoughtful as he is about those things, he's also really funny. And that's, I think, part of why I love making the show is that it's just as funny as it is thoughtful.
The show is funny. I started listening to the Greatest Discovery podcast to understand the background of what was happening on Star Trek Discovery because I didn't come to the show as a Star Trek person. And the more I listened to the podcast, I enjoyed it because it was funny. It's funny to listen to you talk about Saru running like Gumby. I think that's the element of, like, I don't necessarily need to watch some of these shows to listen to a good podcast about them. you pick up some cultural currency from knowing what some of the facets of a movie or a TV show are. And I probably will watch some of these war movies that I haven't seen. That hasn't necessarily been my experience with some of these other movie podcasts that I've listened to just because they're enjoyable to listen to. But the movie you do in episode two, Run Fast, Run Deep, sounds like a movie I'd really like to see.
Yeah, I mean, we thought a lot about how much we need to assume people know about the films ahead of time. I mean, we've recorded a couple dozen episodes of the show, and when we were getting ready to release, we decided to add a little preamble to each episode that kind of runs down the plot in broad strokes, who the major characters are, and, you know, the era it came out and everything. Just because we can't assume that we're going to have people watching all of these movies every single week. And we're also not discussing the movie. You know, we're not going in plot order the way we do on our Star Trek shows. So we're, you know, we're kind of bouncing around talking about different scenes. Oh, this scene kind of makes me think about this other thing. And that thing makes me think about this scene that happened before the first scene we were talking about. So because we kind of meander around in the conversation, we wanted to kind of underpin that with just a basic description of the film at the beginning. So we hope that the outcome is that it's a show that you can get a lot out of whether or not you've seen the film that we're discussing.
Well, I have enjoyed Friendly Fire, and I look forward to hearing more episodes of it. I appreciate you both talking to me.
Awesome. Thanks, you for Scott. Having us, Scott.